Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
It's Friday.
So in the business world here in America, there are companies that have their ups and downs. One of those companies that is now trying to make a comeback is Papa John's Pizza. Now, we mentioned on the show the other day, Shaquille O'Neal has been hired as the new, basically, face of Papa John's. I don't think the guy knows how to make pizza, but by looking at him, he sure looks like he can enjoy pizza.
He can put him down, yes.
And the reason why, Papa John's, up until last year, they had 14 years in a row of growth as a company. Last year, it all fell apart because the founder of Papa John's, Papa John Schnatter, he said something in a meeting that somebody didn't like, and the next thing you know, that was released to the press. And
we talked about it extensively.
We did talk about it.
In a conference call with the board of directors or whatever it was, he made the mistake of using, in a story regarding someone else using the N-word.
That's right.
He used the N-word. And if he had just said N-word, I think none of this would have happened.
But once that got out, people looked at him as a racist. They said, well, the guy's from Kentucky, you know, and it just kept piling on. And when he tried to talk his way out of it, it didn't get any better. And they had to pretty much disassociate him from the company that he founded. His picture used to be on their pizza boxes, and they had to take him off. They had to take him off of all the commercials that you used to see.
The stadium there in Louisville was Papa John's Stadium. That's not the case anymore.
All because of what happened in that meeting. And so they had a horrible year in 2018. After 14 straight years of rising. So how do you come back? You hire someone like Shaquille O'Neal, and I've seen commercials. They have a new face that says he's the new CEO, and he's trying to make commercials. And
just to back up a second about John Schnatter, this started actually in November of 2017 when he criticized NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell for not doing, for allegedly, quote, not doing enough, end of quote, about the national anthem protests by players.
Well, you just blew this whole thing wide open. He did that first because he didn't like the fact that some players were kneeling. That made him look like a racist,
right?
Because all of the players were kneeling, the black players,
et cetera, and then
when he had the meeting and used that word, that just blew everything out of the water.
Right.
And they had a horrible year last year. Well, they're trying. This is going to be the year, they say, that Papa John's is going to come back. They've completely disassociated themselves from the founder, Papa John Schnatter, and they're going in a different way. They realized that right up until the end of 2017, like you just said, customers liked the brand. The company was doing very well. And then things took a turn, and now they're saying this is this is going to be the comeback this year, 2019, of Papa John's, because they had about a 14-month bad period where they just weren't selling as many pizzas and things weren't going as well. And now they're saying that this is going to be the year of the comeback. And it'll be interesting to watch because this is how America is. Here's a very successful company. The face and owner of that company made a mistake, whether it was a mistake or not, he really got labeled as something that, whether he should have been or not, is a different story.
And when he made the mistake, he compounded it not once but twice. I mean, part of his way of trying to minimize the damage to him after this conference call, and I don't believe it was recorded. If it was, it hasn't been, it's never surfaced. But part of what he said was, he said, well, Colonel Sanders, in his day, he used that word. Well, that didn't really make things better.
No.
At all. But see, I find this fascinating in of how the public, you know, I should have been a sociologist. I love empirical data. I love lists. I love all of that stuff. And I find this fascinating between corporate America and the general American public, the populace, right? We've talked in talked times before where urban legends get companies in trouble, all right? It used to be alleged that the logo for Procter & Gamble was actually a satanic symbol, and that Procter & Gamble, they're all in Cincinnati worshiping Satan, which, of course, is ridiculous and not true. Hmm. Then you have things like the Tylenol scare back in the 70s, which really did damage to, I think, McNeil Labs, I want to say, was the Tylenol manufacturer, because back then somebody was actually tampering with Tylenol products.
Yeah, some lunatic who was putting poison in the and then repackaging and then putting on the store shelves.
Exactly. And the reason why you can't get any medication open, especially arthritis medicine open to this day, would be because of that. This is, so there are real damage to corporate America and certain companies, and then things that are conjecture. And this is the case of conjecture, where you have the CEO, and because of the CEO, the sludge runs down. It never runs up. It runs on to the franchisees, and it runs on to the bakers, and it runs on to the cashiers and the delivery people. And now all of a sudden, Papa John's is Papa John's is oh no, evil. You can't have that. We have to punish them by never ordering from Papa John's ever again. Okay, you know what that is like? That is like, and we talked about this before on the show, after the BP oil spill, all of a sudden BP became a dirty word. Well, that's fine, but people were vandalizing and shooting the glass out of BP gas stations.
Who had nothing to do.
Had nothing to do with that. That is a name that was sold by British Petroleum years ago. And we would take calls where people were just railing against BP. And I made this point then. I'll make it quicker now. You're hurting the wrong people when you blindly attack something to just try to prove a point and put the name and the product down. You're hurting the people. At the time, my dad, before he passed away, was an employee of Anaconda Wire and Cable in Anderson, Indiana. What's that got to do with anything? That was purchased by Atlantic Richfield, which was purchased by British Petroleum. So when you hurt the stock of a company like that, BP, you're hurting my dad, who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and if you thought Papa John Schnatter was a racist, he's not a racist. It's just the social media thing. They hear something, and then everybody spread it.
Well, and that's the runaway train that can't be stopped.
Yeah.
But it's not fair to the employees of Papa John's who had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, and 99% of them at the tons of franchises all over America have never met or seen Papa John in person, but yet he has to disassociate himself from his company,
right?
Much like John Besh had to disassociate himself from the Besh Food Group, and so they'll hope they can have a comeback year in 2019. By the way, 2018, their bad year, their sales dropped 15%. They only did $692 million worth of business.
Well, I think Shaq can eat his way.
He could do that 15% alone.
Standing on his head in the right direction. I've yet to see him in any of their... Will that be coming up during the NBA playoffs, maybe?
Well, look,
I've yet to see any of that advertising.
I read he is going to be the new face of Papa John's, Papa Shaq, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Yesterday, right about this time on our radio show, we said, come on, Jazz Fest. Come on, Quint. Come on, Quint Davis. It's been a few days now. You gotta give us an answer pretty soon about what's happening in the wake of the cancellation of the Rolling Stones because of Mick Jagger's heart issue. And sure enough, right after our show yesterday, it was announced that Fleetwood Mac would be replacing the Rolling Stones on that Thursday at the Jazz and Heritage Festival, the 50th annual Jazz and Heritage Festival.
And so, I think it happened right after the show because, as you know, Quint Davis is a big fan.
Wow.
So right after 10 o'clock, he was ready to go. I don't know.
And so if you are holding Rolling Stones tickets, you will get all of your money back. If you
purchase them through the correct proper channels.
Yeah, if you went online and got them at Ticketmaster, it'll take a couple days, but they will refund your money.
Or if you went to the Superdome.
If you went and waited in line at the Superdome, you have to go to the Smoothie King Center to get your money back, but that's all. All taken care of.
If you bought your tickets elsewhere, like from a scalper, enjoy Fleetwood Mac on your own.
For
another ticket,
$250 or whatever.
Well,
but the Fleetwood Mac tickets are going to cost the same amount of money as every other Jazz Fest ticket that you bought for any other day.
Now, folks are saying, well, they were just here at the Smoothie King Center in February. Of course, people are like, why can't it be the Peter Green version of Fleetwood? Well, it's not 1968.
No, I think Peter Green's in an institution at this point. And look.
But no matter what you do, there's always going to be nattering nabobs with their negativism.
As we mentioned on the show, there was no band that they could have gotten in a matter of a week's time to play there that to replace the Rolling Stones that would have been at the Rolling Stones level. And that's why everybody can get their money back. And this is what they came up with. And not a bad get for just a few days, even though Fleetwood Mac was just here. They did the best they could, and that's that, now onward and upward. I mean, think about it. We're already in April. You're talking about 1 month's time to replace living legends, the Rolling Stones. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You had to do the best they could, and hey, it is what it is, and that's that, and enjoy Jazz Fest.
Yes.
And by the way, Mick Jagger yesterday had his heart surgery in New York City, and they said it went really well. And you know, we talked about the insurance situation, how here in the United States, you know, Obamacare and by the way, when Donald Trump became president, he ran on getting rid of Obamacare and then replacing it. He wasn't able to do that. And you could say John McCain, the late John McCain, the senator from Arizona, is the reason why America is still stuck with Obamacare, because John McCain was the vote when he got out of his hospital bed and he flew across country to Washington, D.C. And remember that? It was late at night, right before he died. He walked in, he would have been the deciding vote on Obamacare, but because Donald Trump said what he said about John McCain, how he didn't think John McCain was a hero, even though, because Donald Trump, and he said this while he was running for president, Donald Trump, he said, in his opinion, heroes don't get captured. When John McCain was a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War, and he was shot down and captured, and spent over five years in the Hanoi Hilton, could as a prisoner of war. He could have went home, but he didn't go home when he first had the opportunity because a bunch of other Americans were being still held prisoners of war, and John McCain said, look, I'm not going until every American is out of here. I mean, and there's no doubt that John McCain was a war hero, but when Donald Trump was running for president and he said, I don't think John McCain was a war hero because my war heroes don't get caught. Hey, I couldn't believe that Donald Trump survived saying that in the Republican primary. Not only did he survive saying that, his numbers went up after that. So after Donald Trump said that, of course, John McCain was no fan of Donald Trump. And then when it came time for Donald Trump to get rid of Obamacare, and it came down to one vote by a United States senator, and it was dramatic, and John McCain walked in there. You can go see the YouTube video, and he put his thumb down, voted no, America is still stuck with Obamacare. And then John McCain died. And that was his last, vote. Some people say that John McCain cared more about himself than he did about his party, the Republican Party, who pretty much all, every Republican in America, most Republicans, wanted Obamacare trashed. But John McCain, because of what Donald Trump said about him, said, no, we're going to keep it. And that's why we still have it. And now, if Donald Trump is going to do anything about Obamacare, it will be after he is reelected, because he has just kicked that can to 2020. He's not going to deal with that right now. And Mick Jagger, I brought all of that up because he had his heart surgery in America.
I'm very confused.
Here's a guy from England.
Can you start over?
Here's a guy
by from, you, 95 points.
Here's a guy from England who needs heart surgery, and he doesn't have it in his own country where they have socialized medicine, where a lot of people have to wait a long time because their medicine is socialized to get their surgeries, to get their treatment. So Mick Jagger just had it here, and whatever it costs, he just probably had the cash in his pocket. That's how rich he is. He doesn't need it. But people said, boy, Mick Jagger, a guy from England, isn't it something when he needs heart surgery? Where does he get it? Of course he gets it here. Whereas we have the best doctors in the world. We have the best treatment in the world. Now, paying for it is a whole different story. But that's that. And so I'm glad Mick Jagger is doing well. He's feeling better. They're saying he's resting comfortably in his hospital in New York. And we got Fleetwood Mac to replace them to play jazz.
Apparently, Mick Jagger's doing so well, he will be up doing the Rooster Dance by Saturday. I'm being told on Sunday.
There are rumors, because Jazz Fest is the only place that the Rolling Stones had to cancel. They had just postponed the rest of their North American tour. And there are rumors going around that sometime this summer, late this summer, when the Stones are making up their 17 North American dates, there's a rumor going around they could add a Superdome show. It had nothing to do with Jazz Fest, obviously, if it's late summer, but we'll stay tuned for all of the details there. A lot of rock and roll news going around. All right, coming up on the show, we will tell you about Gail Benson. She has just added something to her business empire, a place known as the Nagin Inn during Hurricane Katrina. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So Gail Benson, making news, she, along with a business partner, have just bought the Hyatt Regency Hotel over there right next to the Superdome. The Hyatt Regency, also known during Hurricane Katrina as the Nagin Inn. That's where our mayor at the time lost his mind up there. But the owner of the Saints and the Pelicans, Gail Benson, along with local developer Daryl Berger, teamed up with a national hotel investment firm to purchase the Hyatt Regency. Brewster, take a guess how many rooms the Hyatt Regency has.
It's over...
it's one of the tallest buildings in the city,
It's
obviously.
Over 400.
Oh, much more.
Less than 1,000.
A little more than 1,000.
1,100.
1,193.
See?
That's how many rooms.
That's what I was going to say next.
And that hotel will be under majority local ownership for the first time ever since it opened in 1976. So it's good. We always talk about local. And now it will be owned by local folks. And Gail Benson, boy, she's some businesswoman, huh? She's just keeps adding to the Benson empire. She is acquiring her share of the Hyatt Regency through her real estate company, GMB Properties, which announced the transaction last night. This is her first hotel acquisition. Must be nice. You know, you own an NFL team, the Saints. You own an NBA team, the Pelicans. You own car dealerships, and you own a bunch of other stuff. And obviously, Tom Benson owned all of this stuff, but she married him, and he died last year. And she's now the richest woman in the state of Louisiana. She's actually the richest person. She's the richest person in the state of Louisiana. There's a handful of our states in America where the richest person in that state is a female, is a woman, and we're one of them. Gail Benson being the richest person in Louisiana. Speaking of rich women, did you see? We talked about this on the show yesterday. We talked about this on the show in the past. The divorce of the richest man in the world, or the richest man in America at least, Jeff Bezos, just went through. And his wife, who is now his ex-wife, Mackenzie, she is now the third or fourth richest woman going after her divorce yesterday. Her shares alone that she got in Amazon is worth $35 billion or something like that, a lot richer than Gail Benson. So that divorce went through. Jeff Bezos, again, he owns Amazon. He's the richest guy going. That's some divorce. And now his wife is one of the richest women on the planet. Good for Mackenzie Bezos. So, and here's what Gail Benson said about the transaction of the Hyatt Regency Hotel, the Nagin Inn. Quote, "My late husband, Tom, believed in reinvesting in our community, and that philosophy has made our city a better place. Our investment in the Hyatt will continue that legacy." I've never stayed in that hotel, but I've been in that hotel. They got some cool bars in there, and I've hung out in that hotel before. But
I'm sorry, you said you've been thrown out of that hotel?
No, hung out.
Oh, you missed the first statement from Mrs. Benson. It's you left that out. She said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the Hyatt Regency will no longer be known as the Nagin Inn."
Fun nickname. You know, places need to have nicknames.
Oh, she thought that was a lot of fun.
So, that's cool. And anytime local people own local stuff, and it's all good. On Bayou 95.7.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I saw this story, and I couldn't believe it. You know, we were talking about healthcare, and we've talked about it before on the show. I just read this story out of Knoxville, Tennessee, where this married couple have a child who's sick, and he's got incredibly high medical bills, and the parents just don't know what to do. They can't afford it. They don't know what to do. You know what the doctor told them? The doctor said, "You two should get divorced, because if his mother is a single mother who's out of work, Medicaid will pay for everything." Isn't that incredible? Doctor tells parents, get divorced in order to pay for their son's medical treatment. Randy and Angela Tyndall, that's the couple. They don't want to split up. They don't want to get a divorce. But financially, at this point, it makes a lot of sense. If they got a divorce, Angela Tyndall could file for 10 care. Remember, they're in Knoxville, Tennessee. 10 care, Tennessee care. That's the state's Medicaid program. As an unemployed single parent, if she's an unemployed single parent, she gets on 10 care, Medicaid pays for everything, and then her son, Jackson, gets all of his very expensive medical treatment paid for. Right now, as a married couple, I mean, the husband's working his you-know-what's off, and he's having a... He's got medical bills over his eyebrows. That's a pretty sad tale when you tell people, when you say, look, the only way you'll be able to afford your son's medical care is if you get divorced, because then the mother will be a single unemployed mother and she can get on the state's Medicaid program. This reminds me of welfare in America. This reminds me of LBJ's The Great Society, of when he started when we started welfare in the 1960s, because it's kind of the same thing as what I just explained. If you're a married couple and you have a couple of kids, and the husband loses his job and he has a tough time finding a job, you get welfare if the woman divorces the husband and she's a single mother with the two kids. It's almost like welfare is almost like incentive to be a single mother, because you can't get the welfare if you're married. And I just saw this story with the medical coverage in Tennessee about this family, how you know, their kid has a better chance of living and surviving and getting the best medical care if his parents are divorced and his mother is an unemployed single woman, because then the state will pay for it. Even though her father, even though they have a happy marriage, and even though the husband, the father, is working, and they can't afford it with his particular health insurance, they can't afford the medical bills for their son. The kid is in kindergarten, and the mother says, quote, he's come a long way, according to Angela Tyndall, talking about her son Jackson. He's 6 years old now. He still requires a lot of care. The formula he gets through a feeding tube alone is $1,700 a month. That's just the formula that he gets through a feeding tube. But none of this would be a problem if his parents get a divorce, and all of a sudden she's unemployed and she goes on the Tennessee care, the 10 care, and then the Medicaid, the Medicaid would pay for all of that. Isn't that a sad state of affairs that's happening? And look, we've talked about Obamacare before on the show. You know, the heart was in the right place for Obamacare, but Obamacare was more like welfare for medicine. That's what it is. And Obamacare was more about government control, I believe, than healthcare. Because if you look at pretty much everybody's medical insurance, went up. The premiums went up when Obamacare became law. I remember looking at my medical insurance costs. I remember talking to family members, friends. Everybody's went up because somebody had to pay for the poor people that couldn't afford their medical care. And that's why Obamacare is such a disaster. But make no bones about it. We're the greatest country in the world. There's no doubt about it. We have the best medical care in the world, but it's not perfect. And it does cost money. And somebody has to pay for it. So I just thought this story was said something about our society, where you got these parents, they got a six-year-old kid. He's been battling medical issues ever since he was born. And it's extremely expensive, and the father's insurance is maxed out. They can barely afford it anymore. And the doctor says to them, "Go get a divorce, because a single unemployed mother would then get on 10 care, and the state's Medicare program in Tennessee would be able to pay for all of your kids' medical bills. We are all, aren't we pretty much all, unless we're a gazillionaire, aren't we pretty much all one major sickness from being broke? Isn't that safe to say about most Americans? We are all pretty much one major illness from being broke, being sent to the poorhouse.
It used to be the catastrophic illness was the lowest of the low. It was the just certain illnesses and conditions created that situation for people. But now it's become untenable in cases like what you described.
It's a sad state of affairs. So we'll see. We'll see if this couple does that. I mean, I guess technically they can get divorced and say they're divorced so they can get their kids' medical bills paid, and the husband could still come over and hang out with the wife, even though they go figure something out there. I just saw that story, and I said, wow, something needs to be done about that, because that's something else. All right, coming up on the show, it rained a lot yesterday. It's raining a lot this morning. And we had some flooding in New Orleans, and we lost four pumps during yesterday's heavy rains, according to the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. More details on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So, El Chapo, we just convicted him in an American courtroom, and he's going to go to prison for the rest of his life. El Chapo was one of the biggest drug dealers in the world. Not physically, because he was only a little guy. But when it came to the amount of drugs that El Chapo, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, when it came to the amount of drugs that he was dealing, he was right at the top of the...
He was a giant.
He was a giant.
Moving drugs.
World of drug dealers. Well, now his wife, who, by the way, made a lot of headlines during his trial because she is really good looking. His wife, Emma Coronel Aspiro, is the wife of El Chapo Guzman. And the reason I'm bringing them up this morning is because she has decided to start a clothing line, and the name of the clothing line is El Chapo. And she wants to take advantage of his name. And Brewster, what's interesting is, I mean, El Chapo had tons of money, and he evidently had it hidden, or has got it hidden, and he's not going to be able to spend any of it because he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life in an American prison. But his wife is being followed around because authorities think that she knows where some of that money is hidden. But she's going to take advantage of his famous name and start a clothing line.
See, I don't think she does know where it's hidden. I think the only person who knows is Sean Penn.
Could.
Didn't he say that?
Remember that meeting that flew down there?
60 Minutes, yeah.
But she is his wife. El Chapo's wife is going to launch a clothing company named after him. I mean, I just couldn't imagine, like, women saying, "Look at the, you know, how sexy I look in this El Chapo little dress."
Well, apparently, the little El Chapo cocktail dress.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, it's a staple in every woman's closet. Apparently, there aren't laws in Mexico like there are here to keep people involved in crime. They're not supposed to profit from that. Isn't just using his name sort of profiting on his notoriety?
Sure.
Even though it's really bad notoriety.
I mean, if she called it the Emma Coronel Aspiro line, I bet you most people wouldn't even know who she is.
That takes too long to say.
Yeah, this way, you know, I'll go grab an El Chapo skirt. She says, quote, "We have received a lot of responses from designers who are interested. We are very happy with the response." The clothing line would be called El Chapo Guzman, and they will start out selling online, and then who knows? I don't know if they'd ever go to brick and mortar at this point, but she says, "My goal is to protect my style and Joaquin's, but to please everybody. We are still not going to give out details about the look because we want it to be a surprise. I mean, you're making clothes. I mean,
right. How different can they be?
But she's in her 30s, I think, and El Chapo is 62. A lot like Mick Jagger's relationship. I mean, Mick Jagger in his 70s and his girlfriend, or she's in her 30s. But El Chapo will be spending the rest of his life in an American prison, and now his wife, who you would assume already has some money, I mean, when you're one of the biggest drug dealers in the world, she's looking to cash in more on her fame. And Brewster, I don't think they have those same laws in Mexico. I mean, you know, here in America, it used to be if someone became famous, even for the wrong reasons, even.
To keep
selling books and
movie deals
rights and things like that. So I don't think they have those same laws in Mexico. But she was turning heads during his trial in New York. I mean, she'd show up every day wearing different outfits, and the New York papers loved it. They'd take pictures of her. They were like, wow, look at this. You know, most guys in their 60s couldn't do this well. And now she's going to be Chapo chic. I guess maybe, is that how you would say that?
Yeah, chic.
Chic, yes. El Chapo chic. We'll see how that does, how many wacky people in this country will want to buy El Chapo clothes.
Unless you're referring to her, you could just say El Chapo's chick.
Well, El Chapo's chick will be wearing El Chapo chic. That's how she'll be looking. No, stay tuned.
Okay.
All right, coming up on the show, we will look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we will hope you'll stay tuned for that report. That's next. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. It's time for us to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
But first, you know, I'm a stickler for detail. I demand excellence of you. Apparently, yesterday I had none for myself. I would like to say at this point that with the exception of National Burrito Day, which was yesterday, and National Chicken Cordon Bleu Day, which was yesterday, as well as National Vitamin C Day, every other GD thing I read was actually today. I read April 5th days as yesterday.
So you were a day ahead of yourself.
Apparently, I missed April 4th.
Hey, dude, I've always said rock and roll isn't perfect.
Brewster regrets this error.
You know, radio shows.
And I'm not wearing pants.
Aren't perfect as well. So,
so now I don't know what to do. Should I read yesterday's as if it was today?
Or
should I wait till tomorrow?
That's a good question. Well, I could start out today's because
okay.
Today is April 5th.
2019.
Why today doesn't suck.
Two very popular deaths. Well the deaths weren't popular,
right.
But two very popular people in rock and roll died on this day. First, April 5th. Today's the day that Kurt Cobain killed himself. Today in 1994.
Why today doesn't suck.
Today's the day that Kurt Cobain took a gun and shot himself and killed himself at his home in Seattle.
Is that 25 years ago?
I can't believe it. It's
that's unbelievable.
And he wasn't the only one rock superstar who died on this day. Because a few years later, Layne Staley, the singer of Alice in Chains, died. On the same day that Kurt Cobain died, some would say he killed himself too.
2002, right?
Yeah, it was
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Drug overdose.
Yeah, we have to mention that is a medical examiner estimate. Because he was found with what was believed to be 2 weeks, 2 weeks after he had actually died. So they set the date, his death date of death at April 5th. But that's an estimate. He would, yeah, it's pretty gnarly. Now, what you're about to say is not true. We have debunked that.
Yeah, we talked about that, but his body was in his apartment in Seattle.
Yes.
For several days, like you just said, Brewster.
As many as 2 weeks.
And the rumor was that he had pet cats and the cats they needed something to eat. That was that was the rumor. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, it's safe to say, look, Cobain will always be. He will always be the face of the grunge movement, because once Nirvana made it big, even though Alice in Chains was around before Cobain and Nirvana, even though Alice in Chains, they were already popular in Seattle before people knew about Nirvana.
Right.
Still, Nirvana with the one song "Smells Like Teen Spirit," and then the video.
Right.
That changed everything, and that pretty much opened up the door for all of the other Seattle bands to become commercially successful, even though Alice in Chains was around longer.
Right, as well as others, Mother Love Bone, and early members of what would go on to be Soundgarden and Pearl Jam. I mean, they were around. You can look at Kurt Cobain as with Smells Like Teen Spirit, and him, as you mentioned, bringing grunge to the forefront. But also, he's responsible for the death of late 80s hair metal as well. Bands like Cinderella and Warrants and
all of that stuff. Although, you know, if you ask the Seattle bands today, sure, that was the final nail in the hair metal.
Right.
Because when you looked at Nirvana and you looked at Soundgarden and you looked at Alice in Chains, and then you looked at bands like Warrant and Cinderella, and you looked at bands like those bands looked ridiculous.
Right.
And the sound, they were overproduced, and just the sounds of the records and the things like that. But a lot of those bands would say those LA bands were doing themselves in,
right?
And that was just the cherry on top of the sundae when kind of
the natural progression.
Well, and speaking of Kurt Cobain, it was today in 2005.
Why today doesn't suck?
In his hometown of Aberdeen, Washington, which is across the state from Seattle, they added "Come As You Are" to their "Welcome to Aberdeen" sign.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did that on the 11th anniversary of Kurt Cobain's death today in 2005. So if for any reason you're ever driving through Washington State and you enter the town of Aberdeen, a small town, it'll say "Welcome to Aberdeen," and then it'll say "Come As You Are." I think that's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's probably my favorite Nirvana song.
I mentioned this to you off the air yesterday. On MTV Live, that channel that used to be Palladium, but it's called MTV Live now, and on Cox Cable, it's channel 1776. They do a show called
Classic Albums.
Classic Albums. And the other night, they did Nevermind from Nirvana. And they had the bass player, Chris Novoselic, and they had the drummer, Dave Grohl, and the producer, Butch Vig, who then went on to be in the band Garbage. The wild stories about recording that album. They started recording that album in Madison, Wisconsin. And then they took a break. They didn't have much money. And then Butch Vig said, "I didn't hear from them for a while." Well, it's because he fired the drummer and then hired Dave Grohl.
Right.
And then they went to Los Angeles. And they did it at a studio in Los Angeles where they recorded the rest of that album. That show is so cool. They sit there with the producer, and he goes, "Look, this song, we thought it was perfect here, but then we just added Dave Grohl's backing vocal, and he'll put up the pot on the board. Here's the backing vocal, and look, it just made the song perfect."
My favorite episode of that is Dark Side of the Moon, because Alan Parsons goes through, and it's music nerd stuff. And then another good one is Fleetwood Mac Rumors. Just listening to some of the choices they make with the individual tracks, and it's like, well, it could have gone this way, but we went like this, and it's music nerd heaven. I got to figure out a way, since I cut the cable, Mrs. Brewster and I, we cut the cable years ago. I got to figure out how to get Palladia on what we have.
Well, it's called MTV Live now.
Yeah.
So I love that show, and they did that album the other night. It was so cool.
That's a segment that we got a couple more.
Now April 5th. Oh, today in 1955.
Why today doesn't suck?
One of the great world leaders called it a career. He resigned. Winston Churchill. the British leader who guided Great Britain and the Allies through the crisis of World War II. He retired as Prime Minister of Great Britain today in 1955. They don't make him like Winnie Churchill anymore.
Well, as you know, Mrs. Brewster and I are going to London in a couple of months, and one of the things we're going to see is like the Churchill Museum and the Churchill Bunker, where he would go. And actually, they would have the high-level meetings down there, and they've left it. A lot of recreations, but he had a bed in, like having a bed in the war room, so he could just grab a little shut eye. You know, because without proper shut eye, there's no question Churchill was just not himself.
April 5th. Today in 2008.
Why today doesn't suck.
A Hollywood legend died. Charlton Heston. And I think towards the end of his life, he was better known as being the outspoken president of the NRA, the National Rifle Association, more so than for his acting. And it's when he said, here's my gun and you could try to take it from my cold, dead hands.
You made a dramatic choice there by switching it up, but that's, we understand what you're talking about, I guess. You can take my gun when you pry my cold, dead finger from the trigger, I think.
And then he followed that by saying, you damn dirty ape.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
And then he said, you know, Soylent Green is people. I'm not going to go.
April 5th. Oh, today in 1984.
Why today doesn't suck.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar broke the NBA's all-time scoring record.
On the court or off?
On. The guy's record he broke, Wilt Chamberlain, is the guy who broke the NBA scoring record off the court.
Right.
Wilt Chamberlain bedded like several thousand women. He was the Gene Simmons of the NBA.
That's right. There it is. Number 3,000.
Today in 1984, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made a sky hook and he became the NBA's all-time leading scorer.
Yes. All right, I'll do Phil Hartman doing Charlton Heston in the SNL little skit they did, Soylent Cow. They tried to do Soylent Green, too. Phil Hartman is Charlton.
Soylent Green is people! It's people!
I really can't tell if that was Phil Hartman or Charlton Heston.
So are you going to read us the stuff again yesterday?
I guess I could read what the things we skipped over yesterday. How about this?
Right.
It was on this date, actually, April 5th, 2002.
Why today doesn't suck.
REM guitarist Peter Buck was found not guilty of attacking a British Airways staff person in an alleged air rage incident, which took place on a flight from Seattle to London in April of 2001. U2 frontman Bono was among those who testified in Buck's defense. Now, I wonder if Bono was on that same flight. This story doesn't say. It was on this date, April 5th, 2002. I'm sorry, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
Kansas record their second live album at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Los Angeles. You've been there.
Yes.
Which was released the following July as Live at the Whiskey. And it was on this date, April 5th, 1986.
Why today doesn't suck.
Ozzy Osbourne peaks at number 6 in the Billboard 200 album chart with The Ultimate Sin, which was his first top 10 album as a solo artist in the U.S. And breaking Ozzy news, he has canceled all of his tour dates for 2019.
They said he fell down. Now, he had just recently gotten out of the hospital. He started breathing on his own again. And then I guess he was so excited about that he fell down. And now
all right. So we suspect no more Ozzy on the road, at least for the rest of this year.
And I got one more.
And finally.
April 5th. It was today in 2010.
Why today doesn't suck.
Former astronaut Buzz Aldrin was voted off Dancing with the Stars. For some reason, on the moon, he seemed to have much lighter feet. He was much lighter on his feet up there than he was on the dance floor.
Get out! And you, leave the jacket and get out!
And that's a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about these idiots in St. Tammany Parish who weren't happy with the drugs that they bought. And it led to their arrest. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday, President Donald Trump met with the vice premier of China. Trump's tariffs are taking a toll on the Chinese economy. In fact, thousands of Chinese steel workers have lost their jobs, and they've had to go enroll in elementary school. Pretty rough over there, but hey, he's not going to get ripped off, that Trump. You could say a lot about Donald Trump, but when it comes to cash, he's not going to get ripped off. Coming up next, I got to tell you this bizarre story out of St. Tammany Parish, how two people got arrested for drugs. Wait till you hear about this coming up on Bayou 95.7. The jig is up on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I got to get to this story about these drug idiots in St. Tammany Parish in 1 minute. But I just wanted to bring up something really quick, because you've heard some people, well, who aren't happy with Donald Trump being president of the United States. They want to get rid of the Electoral College. Have you heard these people? Nobody ever had a problem with the Electoral College until Trump became president. And now you have a lot of people that don't like Donald Trump saying, because he lost technically the popular vote, more people voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 than voted for Donald Trump. They say they want it to be that way now, and we got to screw the Electoral College. We got to get rid of the Electoral College. That's crazy. Because if you realize if they got rid of the Electoral College, pretty much New York and California, their voters would be voting for our president for the entire 50 states,
yes,
for the rest of our lives.
Well, speaking of New York, it was ironic that AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she had the Electoral College in the first round. In her bracket.
See, that's one of those memes where I don't know, because she said so many crazy things. That's one of those memes where I don't know if it's true or if it's false.
My money's on true on that one.
But the Electoral College, we can't get rid of the Electoral College. The Electoral College protects smaller states, so they have just as much of a say as people who live in a more populated state. Who the president of the United States is. I mean,
you said that as clearly and succinctly as I think any human being can convey that thought in English. And there are people who still can't wrap their minds around that.
No,
oh, the Electoral College, it's all rigged. No, it's not rigged.
It's not rigged. It's set up for a reason.
Set up to not be rigged in one state's favor.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If we had no Electoral College and it only came down to the popular vote, imagine people in small states like Delaware or Rhode Island, or their votes wouldn't even, Vermont, their votes wouldn't even matter. They wouldn't even have to go vote. It doesn't matter if it was just a popular vote. So anytime you hear someone say, oh, we got to get rid of the Electoral College, tell them that's why we have the Electoral College. So all of us in all 50 states, our votes do count. All right, I wanted to tell you about this crazy story out of St. Tammany Parish. St. Tammany pair rob man who sold them fake meth. So that's how they got arrested. Two St. Tammany Parish residents have been arrested and charged with robbing and pistol whipping a man they claimed sold them fake methamphetamine. 22-year-old Christopher Wild of Covington and 19-year-old Alexis Walker of Madisonville were arrested on Monday by the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's deputies. The two are accused of forcing their way into a home near Folsom on Monday and pistol whipping a man and then robbing him of $15. Sounds like a meth head crime. And besides the $15, they robbed him of his cell phone as well. And so when the police got to them, the pair told the investigators that the robbery was in retaliation for the man selling them fake methamphetamine just a few days earlier. I guess if you're going to give the cops a reason why you went into someone's home, broke into their home, pistol whipped them, and stole a cell phone and $15 from them, I guess that's as good a reason as any, huh? They're hoping, by telling the cops this, that the guy that they beat up would get arrested for for bait and switch for selling them a fake product that he said he was going to sell them one thing, but he sold them something else. So isn't that something though? When you get involved in things like that, and then the cops ask you what really happened, and you say to them, "Well, he's like, he deserved to be beat up because this isn't meth. Does this look like meth to you? This is fake meth."
Not knowing what the high for meth feels like, I just have to wonder and question what the high from fake meth feels like. Is it 75% of the high from real meth?
It doesn't say that in the police report I've got here in front of me. I'm reading the police report. I don't know how much of the fake meth they actually used, but I'm looking at the mugshots here. It looks like they're on something. but you just don't see that headline every day. St. Tammany pair rob man and beat man who sold them fake meth. All right. Coming up on the show, we have told you on this show, and if you know anything about economics, I'm sure you know that raising the minimum wage is a bad idea for a capitalistic free market society. As a matter of fact, in cities like in New York right now, in San Francisco, the restaurants are hurting because in those cities, and I was reading about New York, how they made all restaurants raise their minimum wage to $15 an hour, and they say it's hurting their business. And now people that know about economics could have already told you that. Well, now the unemployment in America is so low that places are looking to hire people. They need to hire people. So Target just announced that they're raising their minimum wage to $13 an hour so they can find more workers. That's how it's supposed to work. Not the government telling you need to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And we will show you and we will explain how that's a good thing for places like Target, but it's a bad thing for restaurants when the government tells you got to raise the minimum wage. Stick around here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, as we mentioned during Why Today Doesn't Suck, today was the day that Kurt Cobain killed himself. And it's hard to believe it's been 25 years. I mean, you talk about time flying. But the reason I'm bringing this up, because to this day, even though his home where he did it, they changed it around a little bit. They got rid of because it was the room over the garage. They knocked that down. But yet still people go over there, and there's a little park right across the street from the house in Seattle. And there's a couple of park benches, and people go over there, and they'll paint on the benches like "I love you, Kurt," "I miss you, Kurt," and then they'll maybe some of his lyrics for some of his songs. But it just got me thinking, since today is the anniversary of Cobain's death, they had a little battle, Nirvana, with Guns N' Roses when they were both around, and they didn't like each other, the two bands. As a matter of fact, Guns N' Roses asked Nirvana to go on tour with them right when Nirvana was breaking, and Kurt Cobain said no. And then Axl Rose told the media, you know, those guys in that band would rather shoot heroin with their wives than go tour with us. And then I remember there was the MTV Video Music Awards, the famous one, the year where the bass player in Nirvana threw the bass up in the air and he didn't catch it and it hit him on the head and he almost knocked himself out. But that's when the drummer of Nirvana, Dave Grohl, kept screaming, "Axl, Axl, come on, Axl." And there was almost a fight between the bandmates, the band members, those two bands. Because, I mean, you had Guns N' Roses that was at the height of their career. And then you had Nirvana, who was just coming up and who was going to knock all of that Los Angeles stuff, just knock it all off of the charts. And not just the music, but the way that they dressed and the way all of that stuff. So the bands never got along. The reason I'm bringing this up is because right before Cobain died, a couple of days ago, 25 years ago, Kurt Cobain was on an airplane from Los Angeles where he escaped a drug rehab center. He actually just walked out of a drug rehab center in Los Angeles. He gets on a plane to fly back to Seattle. Who does he sit next to on the flight? Duff McKagan. Not the bass player of Guns N' Roses, but Duff McKagan was born and raised and grew up in Seattle. And then he just ended up moving to L.A. because that's when the L.A. music scene was big. So those two, and Duff McKagan has talked about this. They had a long conversation on that flight, and they had put all of their old past crap behind them. And Duff McKagan felt really bad when Kurt Cobain killed himself. It was only a day or two after that flight. Duff McKagan said, wow, I just sat with him on that plane flight, and, you know, he seemed a little bit off. You know, he seemed a little bit alone. And Duff McKagan thought, boy, I wish I could have done more. I wish I said, hey, you know, when we land, you want to go out and get a cup of coffee, or do you want to? But I didn't do that. And then Cobain went home, and he shot himself. And to this day, Duff McKagan feels kind of bad that he didn't do more, because he noticed on that flight from Los Angeles to Seattle that Kurt Cobain didn't look very well. And look, if you want to blame anybody, and like, the guy killed himself for whatever reason, but his wife was no help either. Courtney Hole. She was no help either.
Courtney Hole.
She was in L.A. doing drugs with the Red Hot Chili Peppers or Anthony Kiedis or whatever the case may be when her husband killed himself. And if she was, you know, a better wife, she knew her husband's mental state, knew that he wasn't doing that great. Instead of, you know, being in some hotel with Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, she probably should have been with her husband. Now, look, I'm not blaming her. The guy had problems. He was a heroin addict, and he said that he had a pain in his stomach that never went away. That's why he did heroin. Some people said that he felt all kinds of pressure because the follow-up to Nevermind in Utero, it wasn't selling as much as Nevermind, so there was all kinds of shit. But I thought that Duff McKagan story, when I saw that, I thought that was very interesting, how he thought that, boy, if he did a little bit more. But R.I.P. Kurt, you'll always go down in history, and I'm a big Nirvana fan. Coming up next on the show, we're going to tell you what Target just did, which is really cool. They raised their minimum wage. They didn't make the government do it for them. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. And the big story this morning is how Jazz Fest announced that Fleetwood Mac is going to be the band replacing the Rolling Stones on that Thursday at Jazz Fest. And if you had Rolling Stones tickets, you will get all your money back. If you bought them online, it's going to happen automatically. They said Ticketmaster will refund your money. Although if you went and stood in line at the Superdome to get your tickets, you can go get your money back at the Smoothie King Center box office next door there. And
if you bought them from a scalper, put your head between your knees and you know the rest.
But they are refunding all Rolling Stone tickets because, I mean, look, Fleetwood Mac's really good, but it didn't matter who they got. They're not the Rolling Stones, and people need their money back. And then the Fleetwood Mac tickets are going to be the same price as all the other Jazz Fest tickets, because we all know that the Rolling Stones tickets cost a lot more. You know, there were a lot of people that weren't happy about that. A lot of Jazz Fest fans, a lot of Jazz Fest purists and enthusiasts, they were upset at the fact that the Rolling Stones tickets not only cost so much money, but they were only good for that one day. But hey, I mean, you're talking about the biggest rock band in the world, and they wanted to do something special for the 50th anniversary of the Jazz Fest. And
prior to the announcement and then thereafter about Fleetwood Mac, there are a lot of locals who said, pick the cream of the crop of local musicians and have them on stage for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is, in one big jam. That logistically would have been easier to put together than other alternatives, but that's not the way they chose to go.
And the other thing that's different about Fleetwood Mac now playing that Thursday late in the afternoon instead of the Rolling Stones, there will be bands now playing on other stages, because when it was the Stones, every other stage had to be shut down. And from what we understood, once they started playing, the vendors were gonna shut down. That's what we understood. But now that Fleetwood Mac is playing instead of the Stones, there will be other, and they're still gonna add more bands for that day, they say. And there will be other bands on stage, just like a normal jazz fest. So and the other news when it comes to the Rolling Stones is Mick Jagger yesterday in New York City had his successful heart surgery. Brewster, you told me, though, they didn't open him up.
No,
you were reading about it. They went through his leg?
Yes, it is don't have it in front of me, but it is when you go through the femoral artery, and like you would for, they're able to place stents and do angioplasties if they even still do things like that. But they were able to, they didn't split him open. Like they did me almost 10 years ago. And I'm going to tell that story next month because everyone wants to hear it. Yeah, they're able to do this. They're able to, it's a valve replacement. They're able to do that with minimally invasive procedure without cutting him open. That's what we understood.
And they say it was a successful surgery. He's recuperating. And all of those Stones dates, except for the Jazz Fest date as of right now, they're going to be made up. And which made me wonder, boy, do you think the Stones will still want to play New Orleans anyways and maybe add a Superdome date? Because they haven't been here since the 80s. Who knows? We don't know. Stay tuned, as they always say. But Mick had a successful surgery.
You always say that.
Well, and he's recuperating now in New York. I just saw this, and I couldn't believe it. One of the most beautiful actresses in Hollywood. I think you can even take that further. One of the most beautiful actresses in Hollywood history.
Alyssa Milano.
No. Charlize Theron has a new movie coming out. She's in a new Seth Rogen movie. And she's out doing interviews, because that's the only time these A-listers, you'll ever see them do interviews, is when they're promoting a movie. That's the only time they go on the late night shows. That's the only time they go on interview shows. The A-listers we're talking about is when they're promoting a movie. Well, Charlize Theron said something in an interview that made me fall off the chair. She said, not only is she single, the 43-year-old beauty, she's been single for 10 years. And she said that, quote, somebody just needs to grow a pair and step up, unquote, if they wanna be with Charlize Theron.
Has she even looked at your Match.com profile?
I know. See, I'm single too, and she would do. But while she was promoting this movie, and by the way, I'm a big Seth Rogen fan too.
Don't use that as your first line if you do happen to go out with her. Yeah, you'll do. Don't do that. Trying to help.
So the new movie that she's in with Seth Rogen is called Long Shot. And when she did this interview, and she did it with Entertainment Tonight, that television show, she says, quote, I've been single for 10 years. It's not a long shot. I'm playing on the movie she's in. She said that, quote, I'm shockingly available. How about that? Now, I know you and I, Brewster, have different tastes when it comes to when it comes to the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always thought that, in my opinion, Charlize Theron is she's up there. I mean, you start going back and you talk about the most beautiful women in Hollywood history. I think she would be ranking right up there towards the top of. And did you know that? She's African American.
She's from South Africa.
She's from South Africa, yes. but she's also, she has dual citizenship. Hmm. She's an American citizen as well. But when you look at her and you say, boy, she's African American. But I can't believe that she's been single for a decade, and she says that she's available. You would think that. There's a line of guys lined up all around the city of Los Angeles who would want to date her, but she's probably pretty picky. The rumor was that her and Brad Pitt were doing sex, because Brad Pitt's now single. Now I don't know if that's something that's gonna last, but Charlize Theron has been single for a decade, and she just needs someone to grow a pair and step up. That would be pretty intimidating going out with her.
You think?
Well, not only is she so beautiful, but you know she's loaded. She's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. What kind of a guy could fill that role and be an adequate companion to her? I mean,
there is none. Maybe there is no check for that balance. It's possible. It's not true that there is someone for everyone. That's not true. That's a hoax. That's been debunked on Snopes.com. There is not someone for everyone.
Well,
there's not.
You know, Brewster, I told you that show that I like to watch sometimes, My 600-Pound Life.
You're proving my point.
Well, most of those people, the 600-pound-plus people, they have significant others, whether it's a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And I'm sitting there single watching this. And I'm like, this person is 679 pounds. I just saw the scale. And they've got someone that, you know, who they're with all the time. And I'm like, well, I'm watching this show And I'm watching it alone, and like Charlize.
Imagine that.
Like Charlize, you don't like that show. You've never seen that show. It's a show of hope.
No, my wife and I don't watch that. Mrs. Brewster and I don't watch My 600-Pound Life.
I tell you, you call it a guilty pleasure or whatever. They say if you ever watch anything, that's a guilty pleasure. But to me, that's a show of hope. You got that one surgeon there in Houston, the guy from Iran. And he's like one of the only doctors in the world that'll deal with these people. And by the end of the show, when they've lost 300 or 400 pounds, it makes you feel good. But
you're still alone.
Yeah,
I'm trying to help you. I'm doing all I can for you. It's not easy.
Do you know any of Charlize Theron's people?
Her people?
Yeah. So because I don't have any people, you're my only people. Because when we talk about local people who get in trouble, local women, you then go right to Facebook and you send them a friend request from me. Is there any way you can get in touch with Charlize Theron's people?
Attention. I am not your people. You have no people.
Yeah, I don't. You're right. I got nothing. But hopefully after this, making this announcement.
But you have a good attitude about it.
Yeah, hopefully after making this announcement, Charlize Theron... We'll find who she's looking for.
Maybe she's listening.
Boy, that must be something. All right, coming up, we will tell you the dumbest things we read all week, and I've got a Chicago Police Jussie Smollett update. That's next as well here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So the Chicago Police are suing Jussie Smollett. Because they wanted him to pay a little more than $130,000, because they say that's what it cost them to investigate his fake hoax, his claim that he was attacked because he's a gay black man. He was attacked by racist, homophobe Trump supporters who were running around a frigid, cold night in Chicago with a noose and bleach. And when the Chicago police determined, and they have all the evidence, that he set the whole thing up himself because he wanted attention for himself. And then the fact that the state's office there in Chicago decided to just drop all the charges because, A, they said it wasn't a violent felony, and, B, they said that he didn't have a long criminal history. That's why they dropped the charges, which was ridiculous. It was the biggest miscarriage of justice in recent American history that we've seen. I mean, what he did, he tried to divide this country. He tried to say, look, these are Donald Trump supporters. They're racist. They're homophobes. And look, they're trying to choke gay black guys with a noose. And so it took almost a month of investigation by the Chicago police. And they came up with a number. It was like $133,000. So they sent that bill to Jussie Smollett, and they said, you have until yesterday to pay it. And Jussie Smollett has refused to pay the bill. So now they are going to they're going to sue him for that money. And he could end up going back to court. Brewster, I'm telling you, I can't imagine anybody ever hiring him to act again because of the fact when they dropped the charges, he said, basically, I told you I never did any of this.
Right.
And that shows you, again, not only is he a liar, but he's a racist, he's a narcissist, and right. he's a sociopath. And anybody who hires him, those are the characteristics that anybody who's watching are going to see.
Oh, but you're wrong, Kemosabe.
How so?
As I have told you... throughout this sordid tale, not only will he work again, but someone close to him agrees with me, appearing yesterday on The View. And as you mentioned with actresses, she was not brought on The View to talk about Jussie Smollett specifically. She's got a new movie out. But Empire star Taraji P. Henson agrees with me.
I talk to Jussie all the time, and he's doing well. Okay. Yeah, we're all doing well. The show is doing well. We're on hiatus right now. The writers are trying to figure out what the next season is going to look like, what our storyline is going to be. They're trying to drum up some really good juicy stuff for you guys. So that's what we are right now. I'm about
to
go to
be on the show?
Yes. I haven't heard anything else.
Okay. She says he'll be back. Or is she in huge trouble for saying he'll be back?
I have no idea. And I know the ratings of that show haven't been good. It's amazing. They're saying that show's coming back at all. But could you imagine if they bring him back, a guy that tried to divide the country? And did you hear some of the audience, hey, Jussie's doing well?
Right.
Again, just because he's black and just because he's gay, you know, hey, we all have to root for Jussie.
Right.
Because he's in these two marginalized groups that have been crapped upon by Americans historically, and so now just cut them some slack.
I have just a little more audio from yesterday's The View. How are their ratings doing? Oh my God,
man! So we'll see, and when we'll see if the Chicago police. If they successfully sue this SOB, and again, if Empire does bring them back that show, there should be people protesting outside. How dare you bring back a racist, lying, narcissistic sociopath who tried to divide the country just for a couple of stinking ratings that you may or may not get? Who knows? So that's the latest there, and they're trying to sue the pants off of them. All right, coming up next. It's the dumbest things we read all week. And this week, this may be the dumbest week in the history of our radio show.
It's a very dumb week.
This is an incredibly dumb week. Find out next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Since it's Friday morning and it's 8:35, this is where we tell you the dumbest things read all week. And
there were many, many choices this week. This is one of the dumbest weeks I can remember.
This could be the dumbest week in the history of the radio show.
Might be. All right, I've got... I don't know if these are necessarily runners-up. It's just here's one of them. Pretty dumb. You know, you're an animal lover. I'm an animal lover. I'm a cat lover especially. People say, oh, you don't like dogs. It's not that I don't like dogs. When I was 5 years old... visiting over at a neighbor's house, a dog tried to chew off my lower lip. I've been largely pro-cat since then.
I don't know why people say make the choice, cats or dogs. Are you a cat or dog? I like both.
Right. But if all chips are down, a gun, I don't want to say a gun to my head, but with a gun to my head, I'm a cat person. So I found this curious. And you have to draw the line somewhere. Man accused of abandoning pet fish faces animal cruelty charges.
Did you say pet fish?
Pet fish. Dateline, New Hanover County, North Carolina. Man there arrested on animal cruelty charges after he allegedly failed to provide fresh water and food to his pet fish, whose name may have been Eric. You'll get that if you're a Monty Python fan. And abandoned said fish after he was evicted from his home last month. Michael Ray Henson, 53, no relation we know of to Taraji P. Henson of Empire, was taken into custody on Wednesday, charged with 3 counts of misdemeanor cruelty to animals and 1 count of abandonment of an animal.
Did I miss you saying what type of fish this was?
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
You didn't because I haven't. He was given a $4,000 unsecured bond and later released from jail. I know where you're going to go with this. You're going to a food fish. Like, was it a catfish or a nice tilapia? Maybe orange roughy. I don't know. We'll read on and find out. Apparently, it's an Oscar fish. Are you familiar with an Oscar fish?
No.
Well, Ethan Lane, the spokesperson, not Nathan Lane, Ethan Lane, spokesperson with the fish room, where the fish is being nursed back to health, said an Oscar fish is about $40 to $50 to purchase and can grow up to 16 inches long.
And they're nursing it back to health, like with mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? What are they doing?
He says they're great pets. We call them wet pets. They are very trainable. They have huge personalities. Some can be aggressive. When deputies seized the fish, it appeared to be malnourished and suffered from hole-in-the-head disease. Some people I know have that. It's caused by poor water quality and lack of food. When this fish came in, continues Mr. Lane, he was in pretty bad shape. Hole-in-the-head disease is a parasite that starts in the intestines and works from the inside out, slowly killing the fish. Hole-in-the-head disease forms lesions on the fish's skin, allowing bacteria to grow inside. Yes, let's get as specific as we can. It's fatal if it goes untreated. However, he says it's somewhat common in Oscar fish, but to prevent it, you've got to constantly do water quality checks.
That's pretty dumb.
This is for a fish. It is the first time in New Hanover County, North Carolina, that someone has been charged with animal cruelty in regards to a fish. There you go. We'll follow this, and yes, stay tuned.
Here's my runner-up, and this story we put on our website, Bayou957.com, a couple of days ago, and we put it on the Bayou Facebook page as well. Men arrested for shooting each other to test bulletproof vests. This is the story out of Arkansas.
Wow, and I thought that was your winner.
No, and when we believe it or not, there's something dumber than this, if you can believe that.
I do.
But when this was going around our social media the other day, people were like, is that against the law? Is that a crime if two guys in Arkansas each put on bulletproof vests and then they shoot each other to test the bulletproof vest?
It's a crime to intelligence, but that's about all.
Well, that's what people were wondering. That technically isn't a crime. When the cops showed up, because the neighbors called the cops because they heard the guns, when the cops showed up, both men were drunk. That was the crime. You can't be drunk shooting guns. And so these two guys out of Arkansas, 50-year-old Charles Ferris.
I'm sorry, 50-year-old?
Yeah. And 36-year-old Christopher Hicks were arrested on Monday. They were charged with suspicion of aggravated assault after police say they shot each other while wearing bulletproof vests to test the bulletproof vests.
Right.
And I guess they worked because these guys are still around.
I think I've detected a trend here. I think we are actually building the pyramid of dumbness.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because this one's going to be even. We had the fish. We have these two guys.
And again, we put this on Bayou957.com, our website, a couple of days ago. Go check out their ridiculous mugshots and the story. And now you've got your.
I think this is building momentum to the peak, to the zenith of the pyramid. Because after that, high school baseball coach placed on leave after soaking infield with gasoline. Dateline, Clearview High School, north of Salt Lake City. High school baseball coach has been placed on administrative leave after he allegedly poured gasoline on his team's field. You know why? To attempt to burn off some water. Now, a lot of places have drainage and whatnot, or just wait till it dries of its own accord. But Steve Ross, the head baseball coach at Clearfield High School, north of Salt Lake City, he's accused of pouring 15 to 20 gallons on various areas of the field. A parent complained during a game on March 23rd that the field stunk like gas, and now the field has been completely shut down while the health department determines the extent of the damage. What's the concern? Well, it's that the gas could leach into the groundwater, so they're going to dig it up bit by bit and see how far the gas has penetrated.
Yeah, I've heard of high school coaches, maybe even college coaches, baseball managers, coaches, doing little things to maybe give their team an advantage to their own home fields, like not cutting the grass for an extra day or two.
Sure.
I've never heard this one, though, before.
He basically just hampered his own team because they can't play. Believe it or not, using a gas dryer, I'm using gasoline rather, to dry a wet baseball field is surprisingly not an original idea. A YouTube video, don't go do this. A YouTube video from 2011 shows the method being employed at a Little League field in Alberta, Canada, I believe. It was shut down by the health department in 2010 after some genius soaked it with diesel fuel.
Huh.
And a college baseball coach in Los Angeles tried the Blaze of Glory method until the fire department came by and told them to knock it off.
All right. Those are the runners up. And now for the dumbest thing I read all week. And as you've already heard, this has been a really, really, really dumb week.
You've raised the bar pretty high.
Ready for this one?
I think so.
New Jersey men arrested after setting their sleeping friend on fire as a prank that went terribly wrong.
See, I was right. We're building. We've reached the top of the summit.
Now, look, we've all been there. If you're a guy and when you were younger and your friend passed out, we've all been there, whether it's a magic marker to the face, whether it's taking his hand and putting it in a bowl of warm, lukewarm water.
Right.
So maybe he, you know.
Wackiness ensues.
Yeah, but these two in New Jersey, they see a sleeping friend and they say, hey, I got an idea. Let's light him on fire.
What could possibly go wrong?
Two New Jersey men are facing criminal charges after setting their sleeping friend on fire in an incident police and the men describe as, quote, a prank that went terribly wrong, unquote. 23-year-old Brandon Perez and 24-year-old David Salt were charged with second-degree aggravated assault, second-degree aggravated arson, and second-degree conspiracy. Can they give them first-degree stupidity? Can they put that in there? According to the Hamilton, New Jersey Police Department, they set their friend on fire while he was sleeping.
Fire, 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 fire.
The poor 27-year-old man, who was not named because he's a victim, he was treated for severe burns at a hospital. So again, I mean, is this where we are with young people pranks? I mean, I thought some of the things that we did when we were younger were kind of crazy. But this, again.
Can you imagine waking up and finding yourself ablaze? What's that smell? Is it bacon frying?
I knew it was going to be difficult to find a story dumber than two guys in Arkansas testing out bulletproof vests by shooting each other while drunk.
Or someone getting charged for cruelty to a fish, or a baseball coach lighting the field on fire to dry it.
This could be the dumbest thing we read all week. This could be the dumbest week in the history of the John Osterlin Show here on Bayou.
Pass me a tissue.
95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I forgot to tell you, if you want to see the mugshots and the stories of the two idiots in New Jersey who lit their friend on fire while he was sleeping as a prank that went terribly wrong, go to Bayou957.com. We got that up there, and it's also on the Bayou Facebook page as well. Did you see Target stores, the Target retail stores? They just boosted its minimum wage to start at $13 an hour. Why did they do that? Because they are looking for good workers. The economy is doing so well. Unemployment is so low. Target is looking for good workers. So they took it upon themselves to raise the minimum wage. That's how it's supposed to work. Not the government telling businesses, oh, you have to raise minimum wage to $13 or $15 an hour, which they're doing in cities all over, in California, New York. And in New York, that is hurting the restaurants big time. It is hurting businesses. But that's how the free capitalistic society works. That's how the free market society works. Because the economy is going so well, the business decides we're going to raise our minimum wage to $13 an hour. And the people that say it's got to be higher, people can't live on their own in minimum wage. Were people ever supposed to be living on their own making minimum wage? Were you ever supposed to? Was anybody ever supposed to afford a one-bedroom apartment on minimum wage? No! If you're making minimum wage, get a roommate or two, right? Isn't that historically how it's always went? So I like to see that what Target's doing. The business is doing that. All right. Coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride. Stick around on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Led Zeppelin there. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So we lost, four pumps lost power yesterday during the big rainstorm here in the city of New Orleans, which is actually pretty good when you think about the history of the pumps in the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board and the fact that our mayor is in communist Cuba right now. Only four pumps lost power, according to the one of the most dysfunctional outfits you will ever see in any city, the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. So I look at that as a win. Yesterday we did have some flooding, but only four pumps lost power. And again, these are the pumps that have been the same pumps that have been there for 100 years, and we're doing the best we possibly can with them. But
well, here as we sit at about 9:35 on Friday, though, if you look outside, we're getting more. And I'm not sure what isn't this weekend supposed to be pretty much a bit of a washout?
I don't look ahead that much. I know the next couple of hours it's supposed to rain, but that's why I always ask you, hey, what's the weather going to be like tomorrow, the next day? Because I try not to look too far in advance.
And I turn around and I go, hey, are you talking to me? What am I, Brewster Domus? Who am I, Weather Domus? I don't know if you saw this, but over at Parkway Bakery, a place that you and I both enjoy quite a bit.
Love that place.
Justin Kennedy posted, the owner posted some pictures where out there on, what is that, Hagen? Out there on Hagen, around the old front door, a lot of water, a lot of standing water. But then you could still get there because of the way they redesigned the back. I mean, that place is the same old Parkway, and I mean that in a good way. It's the great Parkway inside, but the parking now is incredible. I just thought I'd share that.
Well,
they still get water in that area.
Parkway over there in Mid-City, they have some of the best po' boys in the city. But if you go in and you sit down and you look at some of the artwork in the dining room there, they have pictures of Parkway before Hurricane Katrina.
Sure.
And then right after Hurricane, you wouldn't even recognize
right.
it because it was just completely swamped.
Right.
Hey, one other thing I wanted to bring up, Brewster. Mm-hmm. Because this weekend is the Final Four for the college basketball.
Can't say that.
Well, the last four remaining.
Don't even say that.
No. Okay. Well,
just stick with the same things. It'll be over after Monday, so then we don't have to worry about it. But yeah.
So we filled out.
There are colleges and they're playing basketball, and it's all going to be over on Monday.
And you know how you could fill out paperwork with lines on it and things like that.
Yes.
Well, we have five or six radio stations up here, so we all did that. And again, it's all benefiting the children. But when it comes down to all the radio stations, Brewster, it looks like you and I are going to finish first and second because we both picked. I got three out of the final four teams, and you got two out of the final four.
I got two out of the final four. So you are actually higher than you're not actually in the lead because of the way this works out. There are others that are in the lead, but they don't have.
All their teams have been knocked out already.
Right. They're busted, in other words. So the scenario is. I need Michigan State to beat, believe it or not, I need them to beat. Okay, if Michigan State loses tomorrow afternoon, you're done. But I'm not necessarily the winner because I would still have to have
Virginia win.
See, that's where it gets interesting because if you and I are both knocked out tomorrow, then it comes down to those others and then possibly the tiebreaker for points and all that.
Yeah, but what's incredible is you and I have both, we both have Virginia playing Michigan State in the final
In the
game.
Final. Yeah. I have Michigan State, you have
I have Michigan State,
I have Virginia.
You have Virginia.
What did you pick for the tiebreaker, number of points between both teams Monday night?
141.
I have 139, so.
Wow, we're close.
Yeah. So we'll know, Monday morning, we'll know Tuesday morning, but it's going to be interesting.
We're representing Bayou really well when it comes to all of our radio stations up here.
And you're going down, Osterlin!
Nah. Well, that's just about going to do it for our show. We appreciate you listening. Have a great, safe weekend. Ginty is next. Ginty! And we'll chat again Monday morning around 5:30, God willing, here on Bayou 95.7.